Well, Rick, the Florida legislative session is winding down, a little more than a week to go. And of course, you're on Senate President Gates' economic policy team. Much of the focus at this point will be on finalizing and approving a balanced state budget. Tell us about the process from here on out.
You know, the states are required to balance their budgets every year, unlike the federal government. There's a little bit of wiggle room. You can incur some debt for particular projects, but the amount of debt service, that the interest on the debt that you pay, is limited under state law. And so after the recession, when we did have to dip into reserves and spend more money than we would have liked to from where we had to pay interest, we're now back down to the level where the state is actively contributing to reserves. Well, and of course, the budget, in order to adjourn Friday, May 2nd for the session, the budget has to be ready on Tuesday to allow for the three-day cooling off period. And if the budget has to be ready on Tuesday, that means that the budget negotiators really have to finish it up over the weekend. And so that's the schedule that we've been working on in Tallahassee. And of course, the budget process, there's a lot of bills that carry financial or fiscal impacts. And then there's a lot of ongoing issues that have to be decided, you know, how much money for economic development incentives, for example, among other things. And there are competing uses for these funds. So where we are now is that the chairs of the six budget subcommittees in the Senate have now met with their House counterparts. They've hashed out a lot of the details. And on their respective budgets, for example, in transportation and economic development, we're responsible for spending about $10 billion out of the $75 billion state budget. Most of that is for the Department of Transportation works programs to build new roads and bridges, fix old ones, etc. And so now the Senate Transportation Economic Development Appropriations Subcommittee Chair, who is Senator Andy Gardner, who's the president designate. He'll take over after Don Gates as Senate president. He and his House counterpart have discussed the items where they can reach resolution and match up the Senate and the House. And then there's some issues that they have to bump, as we say. And so those bump issues that don't get resolved by the subcommittees are all going up to where they now rest, which is with Senate Appropriations Chairman Joe Negron. And so he and his House counterpart are going to discuss what the budget allocations ought to look like into various categories, and they'll resolve some of those bump issues. Some of them they won't be able to resolve. And so over the weekend, we'll have President Gates and Speaker Weatherford working to resolve the last of the remaining budget issues so that we can have an agreement by the end of the weekend. It's a fascinating process to watch.
Rick, moving to jobs now, Career Source Escarosa is holding its World of Possibilities job fair. This is in conjunction with PSC's Skills USA Challenge. It's Monday at the Pensacola Bay Center. A new crop of graduating students and others looking for employment. And this is a large event. What is the latest in terms of the state's job market?
The latest in terms of Florida's job market is actually quite good. We're adding jobs at a decent clip. We're still not recovered in terms of the jobs count to where we were before the recession, but we're adding them at a good rate. If you look locally, Pensacola is now at the jobs level where we were actually 10 years ago. We've got about 160,000 on non-farm payrolls. That's just where we were before Hurricane Ivan back in 2004. So we are growing. We're up about 7,000 jobs in the metro area from the trough that we hit at the end of 2009. And we're growing at an okay rate, about the same rate in terms of job growth as the rest of the nation, a little bit faster, not quite as fast as the rest of Florida. So we've got a ways to go in Pensacola until we get back to the jobs peak that we reached in the 2006 to 2008 period.
And in terms of skills required for those jobs, is there still a bit of a gap? And how important is it for organizations like PSC, UWF, George Stone to participate, offering full service at events like this, career fairs like this?
The pay gap associated with the skills gap is large and growing. The differential between having college university education versus not finishing high school is as big, it's bigger than it's ever been, and it's increasing every year, actually. So in a 21st century economy, obviously, specific skills are much more important than they have been in the past. And if you look at the way businesses are organized, there's just not much room in those organizations for people who have kind of general level skills or outdated skills. In terms of recruiting, obviously it's important that UWF, Pensacola State, conduct job fairs in conjunction with CareerSource Escarosa. Those things are important. It's a chance for young graduates and businesses to get to know each other. The job market is still tough, but having said that it's tough, the unemployment rate for university graduates is substantially lower than it is for folks who haven't completed high school or who are high school grads. So a big skills gap and still a big pay gap and growing.
Just wanted to quickly mention, Rick, First Lady Michelle Obama and Dr. Jill Biden announced this week the launch of a new online Veterans Employment Center.
A lot of attention to veterans now. The Florida legislature, of course, passed the GI Bill, which expands benefits. You know, we look to the federal government for federal military servicemen and women benefits in terms of the federal GI Bill, but the gap that we really plugged with the Florida GI Bill was for National Guardsmen and women who go to serve, but they accumulate benefits more slowly based on their time deployed than active duty servicemen and women in terms of GI Bill benefits, importantly, education. And so the Florida legislature was right there. And in fact, I've seen papers from the budget conference committee that we discussed earlier about the amount of funding for that set of scholarships for National Guardsmen and women. And so we're right in the thick of it, as the feds are.
And finally, Rick, we wanted to mention news this week regarding new home sales. They dropped sharply last month.
They did. Those are national figures, actually. And, you know, this is a time when the national housing market is kind of out of sync with the Florida market and the local market, you know, because Florida had such a boom and such a bust. We are actually still growing in terms of housing starts. We hit bottom back in 2009. For the two-county metro area, about 55 starts per month. We're now up to, in the first couple of months of 2014, we're running at about 135 starts per month. To get to kind of a reasonable, stable, representative of healthy economy, we need to be at about 200. So we're still short of where we need to be. We need to increase about 50% from where we are today, but we're much better than we were back in 2009. So we're still increasing.
We'll hold it there, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandra.
You can hear the Economic Report Fridays. I'm Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.